Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, great to see you, my friend. Well, I already wished you a Happy New Year last week, but, Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year to you, Gary.
It's great to see you.
It's always best when we're face-to-face and I get to say good things to you.
You have good things to say?
I just did.
Oh.
Don't overdo
it. No, you said it's good when I have good things to say about
Yes.
You said it's good to. You didn't give me any good things to say.
Well, just by virtue of the fact that I have intimated I have good things to say, those were good things to say for you.
I need a chart for that one. And I have to go back and listen
it's
to this.
It's the new year. What can I tell you? My mind doesn't quite catch on yet.
Do you make resolutions?
I absolutely do not make resolutions.
I think I asked you that last
week. You did, because I never keep them, so why bother? You know, it's like the guys that go to the gym. Get up in the morning January 2nd and say, I'm going to be hitting the gym. And by
February
14th, Valentine's Day, you know, you go out for a good dinner with your sweetie and you're done.
Very true.
So I just don't bother anymore.
Do you have any goals for 2024?
I have a lot of goals, yes.
Short-term, long-term, both?
I think really most of them are some are sort of short-term, some are long-term, some are combinations. Like short-term goals in order to achieve the long-term goals.
Okay. Are they...
They are physically oriented. They are business oriented. They are emotionally, spiritually.
Okay. So, I mean, you have your personal life and you have your professional life. You have goals
in both. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't do well going through life without goals.
Me too. You know, I've asked that question to other people and they go, not really. I just want to keep on keeping on. I'm like, well, you got to definitely keep on keeping on, but
well,
I mean,
that's
you
goal.
Don't have any... Well, I think that means maintaining the status quo. But, I mean, don't you have ambitions or goals you want to achieve? I mean, isn't that what keeps your drive? It's what keeps you going. You're like,
Thomas Aquinas said that do all things with energy, with great energy. And that's actually falls into the category of what's called regularity, where you just kind of let things go as they are. Because it's habitual, it's working for you, but you're not getting a lot of energy. You're not putting a lot of energy into it. You're just kind of moving on, doing the same thing.
If you're going to do something, don't do it half.
Assed is the word.
Half-assed. Yes. Okay. I didn't know.
You were trying to be nice.
Like, if you're going to do it, you know, do it. If you're in it, be in it to win it. Don't be just in it, just going through the motions.
What's the point?
Right.
What's the point?
Exactly.
If I'm going to take the time to do something, I want to do it as well as I can.
Thank you. That's my point.
Otherwise, let me be a couch potato and be very happy and good at that.
Yeah, but I can balance, you know, putting the game on and being on eating pizza while watching the games on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, I'm full of energy and vigor.
Well, because you have ordered your life properly. So that's what we do, right? I mean... For myself, there's always the balance of the spiritual, the physical, meaning the healthy side of you, mm-hmm. and your work, okay? Family, of course, is mixed in with all those, but so you have the spiritual, you have the physical, and you have work. So every morning you get up, start the day with prayer, however long that is, then you go and do something physical for your body, and you work out at the gym, you run, you do whatever you do. And you go and you take on the day at work and you give it everything you've got. Then you come home and you spend time with your family and you give them everything you've got. So by the time comes for you to go to bed, you're exhausted because you've given 110% of everything that you got.
Well, see, now I agree with everything. My problem is that I have a difficult time falling asleep. And I get up at 4:15, 4:30 the late. I roll out of bed at 4:30 in the morning. My first alarm goes off at 4:15. I just kind of am half awake and you know I know I got to roll out of bed in 15 minutes, but I go to bed at like midnight, 11:30, 12 o'clock. So I'm only getting four and a half to 5 hours.
You've trained yourself to do that.
And it's been like that for years. Yeah.
Yeah, but you've allowed it to happen.
But that's still not good. And I think we talked about this once a while
yeah,
back.
Yeah, it screws up your cortisol levels, and that has a huge effect on hormonal imbalance in your body, which affects all of your organs, which affects your body's ability to regulate its weight, your whole insulin system is screwed up from it. It's sleep is a very underrated aspect of our life that actually has a huge impact on how we act.
And I try to go to bed early, and I just stare at the ceiling. I'm
right.
Like, you know.
Right. And that's, like you got to do that for a while until you stop, because at some point you will fall asleep.
And you'd think that I'd napped. Nope. You think that I had a boring day? Nope, I was chock full
of activity. So, but you are one of those people, I think, that is really filled with a lot of energy anyway. You know, you're just an energetic type guy, and that's probably part of the reason. You have a natural energy that is higher than most people's level. See, I come home at the end of the evening, and I can sit down on the couch, turn the television on, and I'll be out in a second. Out. I mean, I don't even know what hit me out. It's not like I feel drowsy. It's like I sit down, I turn it on, I'm watching, and I'm gone. It drives my wife nuts. She won't go to movies with me anymore because I sit down in the comfy chairs in the movies, and within 10 minutes, I'm out.
Well, that's also saying something about the movie. It's not gripping you.
It doesn't matter what the movie is. Okay?
Well, I mean,
I will tell you that the what was the latest Tom Cruise movie? The Top Gun 2, whatever, Maverick? That I did not fall asleep at because I was psyched to see
it. That's action-packed from the...
And it's a freaking great movie, and I watch it. I've seen it three times, four times.
I've never seen it. I never saw the first one.
Excuse me?
I never even saw the first one.
Excuse me?
I know. You think I'm kidding.
Jimmy, what are we going to do with this guy?
But he knows. Jimmy knows that it's not just that. I can't tell you the last new movie, like in the 2000s. That I've seen.
I'm not a big moviegoer, but I, you know, here's one thing I found, and it kind of hurts me to say this, but Tom Cruise can't make a bad movie. That's what I've come to believe. Everything I've seen him in, I've enjoyed.
He does all those Mission Impossible movies,
and he's got a new one.
Oh,
and
does
I
he?
Hear it's a, and I hear it's amazing.
He's already got another one out.
Oh yeah, I think it's like number 7 or something, and it's amazing. 5?
5?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy knows. I don't.
I don't. I never saw one of them. I remember the show.
You've never seen any of them?
The show? Yeah. Not the movies.
Oh, no. I used to love the show.
Robert Stack, right?
No. Peter...
Peter Graves.
Peter Graves.
Peter Graves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter Graves, of course.
Yeah. Great show.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Well, I guess I...
And the guy who looked like Lurch.
I guess I got to get out more.
The guy who looked like Lurch. Remember him? The big muscle guy?
You rang.
I forgot his name, but anyway. And then Barbara somebody or other, Stanford, something like that.
Barbara.
Yeah. The girl that was in the gang with him. I forgot her name. It's been a long time.
Peter Graves.
Yeah. Good guy.
Yeah. Well, was.
Right.
He's passed away quite a while ago.
Probably.
No, he did.
I'm sure he did. You would know. I don't. And I know not to question you on any of your trivial facts, because trivial facts are generally 100% correct.
You could from 2000 forward, and I'd lose. But up till 1999, I think I can handle my own.
Yeah, no doubt.
Gets me nowhere in life, by the way.
No, but you'd be hell to have on your team at a trivia party at a bar.
Oh, all kidding aside, the phone calls and the text messages and the emails that I get, Gary, I'm in a tournament. I'm in the finals. Can you be a substitute and meet us here at blah, blah, blah? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Because when the pressure is on.
No, it's what's in it for me?
Oh, come on.
No, it's like.
You're helping somebody out.
No, I know that. But still, if I'm going to drive all the way out there, it's 7 o'clock on a school night. Come on. I'm sorry, man. I got other things I got to do.
All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, last week, if you remember correctly. We ended our discussion of the CFP by telling our audience that the best way to start that process was to conduct an FSA, Family Service Advisor.
Contact one? Yeah.
Yeah. You got to make sure you contact them. So let's start with something that's very simple, okay? And then we'll kind of ease into it. Let's start. People could be hearing these acronyms going, well, what are you talking about? All right. So let's start with FSA. What is an FSA? Let's just start
That's
there.
Like in the military, all the acronyms, you could sit there and drive yourself crazy.
In the legislature as well.
Is it really?
Oh my gosh. Too many.
So FSA is our Family Service Advisor. Family Service Advisor is the primary contact for the Catholic Cemeteries Association with families. They are the equivalent of the feet on the street.
Oh.
The good news is that they are always available, basically. We have 10 cost centers of our 30 cemeteries that they are located in, and they can meet you at any one of the cemeteries, depending on which one you or your family is interested in. Their primary focus in life is to provide education.
Well, I was going to ask you something very similar to that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what their primary role in our organization is, okay? And that is to educate families within the archdiocese so that they know their rights as Catholic Christians. And it's a wonderfully fulfilling position, I think. And most of the people that work with us will tell you that at the end of the day, they feel really good about what they've done because they know that they've helped people. You know, and of course, in this position, you deal with a lot of trauma. You deal with a lot of emotions. But you also have a lot of pre-need, mostly pre-need, which is not, you know, so devastating as the immediate needs. Mm-hmm. So you actually get to build some really nice relationships. And, you know, it's a great position. I tell everyone that I interview that it's probably the hardest job they'll ever have, regardless of what they've done.
Emotional as well.
Well, but that's part of it. That's part of the reason why. Yet you become a true asset to a family, you know, not only from a technical standpoint about end-of-life issues, but also as a friend. I mean, because you're helping them through some very difficult discussions, some very difficult times. And when you do this, you know, there's a natural affinity that is developed between people who are helping each other at difficult times. So I can't tell you, and I've said this in the past, how many Thanksgivings, Christmases, birthdays people are invited to.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, that's just kind of how it is. So not only is it's not only the time that you spend choosing what your final resting place is with the FSA, but then there's this whole follow-up and aftercare program of, you know, being there for them and helping them. You know, a lot of people think you got to come in and buy something. No. Come on and just ask questions. Get knowledge. You know, that's what we're about. We want to make sure you know everything you need to know to make good decisions for yourself and for your family. There's never, you know, there's never any expectation when someone walks in the door that they need to purchase something. That's not why we're here.
No, no, no. And that's great to hear. But, I mean, you can't just hire anybody. Not anybody can be a family service advisor. What do you look for? What kind of background would you ideally, if you were to construct your, you know, your own or build one, or generally speaking, what do your existing family service advisors have as their education or previous experience?
So that's a really good question because it varies, and I'm surprised at how much it does. So first off, you have to be empathetic. You have to be compassionate. You have to be a wonderful listener. That's really important. I shouldn't say that on there, but I think I might have said this before. When I interview people, my first interview is usually at a restaurant.
You did tell me that a number of times, yeah.
Yeah, and I like to see how they interact with servers. How do they interact with the people around them? Situations that pop up, okay? How do they handle it? And it tells me a lot. You'd be shocked how much you learn watching someone, how they act in a restaurant. Even how they speak and eat their food. And the combination of actions that are involved in that process. So, yeah, maybe I'm a little weird about how deep I go into this, but it's true.
That's a great indicator.
And it works for me really, really well.
I'll bet it does.
So that's one thing. You have to have empathy. You have to have compassion. What we find is people that have been in social work, people that are involved in the medical field in some way, physical therapists, people who are involved in retail, because you deal with people a lot. So you come across a lot of situations that you've learned to handle. Okay. Do I like to see a solid education background? Yes, I do. Why? Because it shows you know how to carry something through to its completion. And that to me is important. You're able to complete a task to a successful result. Is it necessary? Absolutely necessary? No. But, you know, again, it's a sense that you get from someone when you spend time with them. And I will spend a lot of time. I mean, my initial interview is 2 to 3 hours.
At that restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the people at the restaurant are like, are you done yet? I go, you know.
What's a question or two that you ask? You don't have to give me your whole arsenal here, but what's one or two questions that you would ask?
You know, the funny thing is I don't have a set series of questions.
Oh, okay.
I sit down with a person.
And observe?
And no, we talk. you know, I tell them a lot about us. I tell them a lot about the position. And while I'm telling them about the position, I'm watching for facial tics and things, you know, because I tell them the truth about how difficult the job can be.
Sure.
Because I don't want anybody to ever come in and say these words, I never knew. Wrong. You knew. I told you in disgusting detail. Okay? Because, you know, how many people spend 2 hours telling you about a job? So they know. And again, it's my opportunity. Now, I do like to ask. I mean, I'm always interested as to why they thought that the Catholic cemeteries would be a nice place for them to work. What prompted them to look at this role? You know, tell me what you thought about our website, which is one of my favorite questions because that tells me if they
if
even
they
looked at
it.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things.
Something tells me, Chris, that you turn away more than you accept.
Yeah.
Because your standards are so high.
Yeah.
And you're very specific about what you're looking for.
Yeah. But everything to me, you have to understand, I go a lot with my gut. And I can look at someone and sit down, and within 5 minutes, I'm going to say to myself, okay, this person's worth talking to. You know, there's been some I've sat down with, and after 5 minutes, I said, listen, you know, thanks for taking the time. You know, breakfast is on me, whatever. Just stay, finish whatever you like. This isn't going to work for us. You know, I don't feel it. So thank you, and I leave. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And then sometimes, you know, I've not been involved in the process one or two times. But, you know, I tell you, how difficult is the job? I have 13 family service advisors. I'm always looking for more. Okay. It's taken in almost 9 years. I've gone through 23 of them.
So there's 10 that are no longer with you.
No, there's 23 that are no longer with me.
Oh.
Okay.
And 13 are.
That have made it. Yeah. So, and you know, a lot of those, they come to me and say, this is just in for me. You know, I thought I could handle this, but I can't. And that's fine. And then there's the other half that I just say, this isn't working. And again, I'm not a mean guy, and I give people so many chances. And I work hard with them. I have people to work hard with them. But when it doesn't work, it's not going to work. And I have to keep the best interests of the families in mind. So the families have to be educated properly. The families have to get the correct information because that's what they're making lifelong, eternal decisions on. Mm. I can't take the chance that you've told them something that's inaccurate. So, yeah, it's constantly monitored. I mean, you know, it's a 3-month training process. It's not like
right?
Yeah, it's not like you just walk in the door.
I didn't know.
So there's a lot to it. Yeah.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. You said you're always looking for more.
I am.
You are right now?
Yes, absolutely. Right now. I'm always looking for more FSAs. And the reason is that, see, to me, if you find a good person, you hire them. If they're a good person, you hire them, whether you got a job available or not.
All right, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
It seems like we've already covered how emotional it is. It seems that there's so much emotion involved that it can create pressure or stress, or does it weigh down on them personally?
Absolutely.
And therefore, do they after? Is there a lifespan of the of a, you know? Do they after a certain amount of time go? That's it. You've gotten the best out of me, and I don't know if I could do this any longer.
Yes. So I have one person who's been with me the whole time. Okay.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
I have one person who's been with me 2 weeks less than that first one, and then the rest of them have been here. Yeah, except for two new ones, you know, they've been here 5, 6 years, some 7. So, you know, you learn to balance your emotions and your professional life in a way that is acceptable. Now, I'll tell you something. I've had people come to me and say, my first 3 appointments today were this, this, and this. And I look at them and I go, just go home. Go home. Just go home. You know, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? I said, go home. Don't come in tomorrow. Take day off. Spend some time with your family. Go for a jog. Go do something. Just don't come in. Don't even think about work. And you know why? Because I get it. You can't put someone on the front lines and expect them to be able to perform at their top level when they're constantly taking fire. You just can't. Because sooner or later, all grinds on you. And at some point, you make a mistake. And I don't want anybody making mistakes.
All right. An FSA, Family Service Advisor, for those of you who are just popping in a little bit late. What? How do they help families? Let me just ask you, put it that way. How do they help families?
Well, as we said, their primary job is education, okay? But when you, if you want to get into the technicalities a little bit more, the way it, typically this is the way it works. Someone will call and set an appointment. So you walk in, the FSA will greet them. They'll come in, they'll sit down, ask them what brought them in today. You know, they'll find out a little bit more about the family. Because if it's a pre-planning, it's a whole different scenario than if it's an immediate need. If it's an immediate need, we generally know what the situation is because the funeral home will call us and say, I'm sending so-and-so, you know. Or, you know, they'll come to us before they go to the funeral home. So we have a little bit of advance warning as to what's going on. But you'll sit down with the family and you'll go through and, you know, the family service advisor spends time asking a lot of questions. You know, to find out as much as possible about the family, about the person, likes, dislikes, etc. Then, in the back of their mind, they're constantly formulating what areas in the cemetery might be appropriate to show them. Then they will probably take them for a tour of the park, and they'll visit, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, depending locations, show them different aspects and different features of each different location. And the family comes back, sits down, makes a choice, or says we're going to think about, you know, what we've seen today. And off they go. If they choose to make a choice at that point, then there's some paperwork that gets filled out. And then, you know, we say goodbye and off we go. So it's a little different for an immediate need because, you know, there's some specifics that have to be handled because you can't walk away not making a choice because the burial's the next day, okay, or something, or the 2 days. But we try and make it as understandable and easy so that, well, look, one of my favorite sayings to people is, whatever choice you make today, it's going to be the right choice. Don't worry about it. And it's true because our people are going to do the right job to make sure that you're making a choice that's good for you and good for your family.
Wow.
So the whole process can take anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour. You know, we had one family that here it was in 99 degrees, 90% humidity. And they spent 3 hours with the FSA.
Wow.
Walking the cemetery. The FSA was, when I heard this, I got in the car with a case of water, drove up to that cemetery, and see, funny how God works. And I thought, you know, let me bring some snackies.
They're not in a suit, are they?
No.
Oh. They keel over. You know.
Well, they're dressed professionally,
yeah,
but, no,
but,
not
but they're not wearing a tie around their neck or okay.
Well, no,
or
FSA sometimes will be wearing that.
I mean, in the 95 degree weather,
well,
not wearing
a
jacket.
Take my sport coat off, you know. Except for me, I always wear my jacket. So anyway, just for the, you know, grins, I bought a big bag of peanut M&Ms. So I pull up and I see them walking back in, and they were coming in for a break. And I said, oh, hi, you know, introduced myself. And I said, look, I knew you guys were out for a lot, so I brought some waters. Oh, thank you. And I put a big bag of peanut M&Ms. And the wife, she just lost her husband. Wife looks at me and goes, where did those come from? I go, oh, I brought them for you. She says, those are my husband's favorites. I go, wow, okay, well, good. I'm glad that, you know, has some special meaning for you. You know, just how, this is how it works. I mean, you know, God works in however he works. So,
do you typically buy peanut M&Ms for?
No, I've never done it in my life and never have since.
Wow.
It was just that one time. I said, well, you know, let me just bring it. Normally in the offices, we have water. You know, we have water bottles and we have coffee and all this. But I knew this particular office had a problem with the refrigerator. And I knew because it just happened. It just happened like the day or two before. And I realized, they're going to be dying for water. So I brought up, a case of water. And sure enough, it was like the perfect thing, which just worked out. So anyway, that's kind of the process. That's really, what happens. I can't tell you enough how important I think it is for every family in the Archdiocese to establish a relationship with a family service advisor, come in, have a chat. Pre-planning is just so important for everyone.
Really quickly, I'm running out of time. How do you know who to assign to whom? I mean, obviously they got a click, right?
No, it's just strictly whoever's up next, that's just how it is. That's how it works. It works fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, have we ever had issues where a family has come to me and said, I just can't deal with this person? And I say, yeah.
It's a numbers thing, right?
Right. I mean, look,
I don't have one
9 years, you know how many thousands of people we've dealt with? I mean, let's see, 4 times 9 is what? 36,000 people in 9 years?
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of people.
Pretty impressive amount.
So in that time frame, maybe 5-6 times that's happened. So I mean, the odds are okay. I try for it never to happen, but sometimes people just don't work together.
So people can, I guess, contact you right through the 800 number and through the website.
Absolutely.
So let's start with that.
Sure.
If you'd like more information. Not only the Catholic Cemeteries Association, but the Family Service Advisors, then why don't you head on over to their website? Very easy to do. A lot of information there. It's www.ccacem.org. CCACEM.org. You can also send an email. By the way, we could, if you don't mind, we'd love to, read your question here on the air. It might even help others. Maybe others have had the same question. You can email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. And by the way, they've got a toll-free number. If you'd like to schedule an appointment today or tomorrow or this upcoming week, write this down. Toll-free at 800-505-0050. That's toll-free at 800-505-0050. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.